What's going on, everyone? We're back with another episode of the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Still in COVID-19 mode, but David, we've got an awesome guest today.
Yeah, we really do, man. And I'm excited to have our guest on today. We are still kind of in lockdown now. So, right, we're doing another Zoom call in order to keep the podcast going. And even though we're not able to do it in the studio, at least we're still able to talk to some really great people. But how have you been? Before we get started, how have you been, man? I haven't seen you in a couple of days.
It's been good, just keeping spirits up and trying to keep a positive like mentality in all of this right now. So it's been tough, but we'll get through it for sure.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where there's just a lot of newness and a lot of things that none of us have. Well, some of us maybe have gone through similar experiences, but you know, a lot of people, especially in your generation, have not really experienced this type of situation. You know, just not really experienced this financial situation and this social situation and so on and so forth. And so it is tough, but I think every day we figure out how to get through it, and we figure out how to not have to have all the answers about next week and next month and next year. Really, sometimes just having the answers for today and having the answers to find a way to put a smile on your face, and you know, it'll pass eventually. But yeah, I can imagine, man, going and having to kind of grab a job for a little while and make ends meet, you know, when all you do is events, it's tough when there's no events going on. I mean, I've been very fortunate that a lot of what I do, I've been able to convert over to doing, you know, virtually through Zoom calls or through different, you know, platforms virtually. Not that it is anywhere as financially as rewarding, if you will, as normally doing events, but at least it's helping keep money come in and keep food on the table and keep the roof over the head. I know that's a little bit more challenging when your job is to go out and videotape things, but at least maybe you got some editing stuff and things like that you got going on.
Yeah, definitely. Courses and just continued learning and stuff like that. One thing that I can say about this is it's really testing just my will and grit as a whole. Like, man, how bad do you really want to continue to do this? Like, to continue learning, continue, you know, networking and that kind of stuff. So it's been hard, but it's been good at the same time. And man, I just hope everyone's staying safe out there, you know, making sure you're just still being cautious, you know, being safe, being healthy and all that. So
we just have to take it as we're asked to do. And it's obviously a controversial topic that we could probably go on the podcast about, as far as, you know, staying home and not being able to work and kind of feeling like your rights as an American, if you will, have been taken away from you. And anyways, whichever side of the fence listeners are on, at the end of the day, you know, as Nick said, we really just want you guys to be safe. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be ready to go back to your jobs and go back to your coworkers and go back to somewhat of life the way it was before COVID-19. And yeah, there'll probably be some changes and things like that, but for the most part, just getting back to things that you're familiar with. So we're excited to hopefully see that happen sooner than later. So anyways, let's get off the COVID-19 soapbox and let's talk about our guest today, if that's okay.
Let's do it.
So our guest joining us today is one of those people, and I think I've talked about this before on other podcasts that we've done, and this topic of when you meet somebody in your life and you really almost can't pinpoint the exact time you met each other. You almost just feel like you've known each other forever. And he and I have talked about this together a lot, and I'm sure he'll probably expand on that a little bit. But we have a guest today. His name is Ray Martinez. He's an author. He's a Hall of Fame DJ. The list just goes on and on. He's an amazing person. He has an amazing heart. And he's somebody who has really guided me and guided my career, much like I try to help you, Nick. A lot of probably what you've learned from me probably came from this man here in big part. And also in a previous podcast, we were talking with Carol Kessler from Name and her late husband, Bruce. You know, those are two of the people. I mean, literally, I can count on one hand, two, maybe four people max that really, 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 I would say are the reason why I've accomplished what I've accomplished in my life. And Ray is definitely one of those people. One of the main books that he wrote that I really think is a very important topic right now and what we're all facing. And so we're going to dive into that. But before we do that, Ray, I just want to give you a chance to come on and kind of share a little bit about yourself with the listeners and just kind of talk about you and me, man, and your version. That's my version, but I'd love to hear your version.
Well, David and Nick, thank you so much for having me. It's really a privilege to be with you guys. I want to say that we met on the Weed DJ cruise. We had some good times on those cruises, especially with the Purple Hat ladies there. And we just got wild. I mean, David and I, along with Luke Renschen, with just a number of people, we've gotten together we instantly became friends. And it's so funny because here I'm the senior member of this group. You know, I'll be 65 this year. You know, you guys have accepted me. All you young bucks have accepted me as, you know, like an uncle, but more as a friend. It's funny how a friend accepts you, you know, as you are. They, you know, they believe in you. And, you know, we call each other to say hello. We don't give up on each other. You know, we've always been there. We've got each other's backs and we've had some great times and we've done a lot of things together short of getting arrested. But
and we've come pretty close to that more than once.
We've come pretty close, you know. I mean, the stories that we have, I mean, we could probably write a book just about our little group, you know. But, you know, the nice part about our little group together, we've always offered each other support. We've picked each other up when we were down. You know, we've raised each other's spirits. We've never judged each other. We've tried to make a difference in each other's lives. You know, we've seen each other's families grow together. We're all, you know, pretty close. And I'm just so thrilled to be with you right now and with Nick and to be part of this this podcast today.
Well, and I think what's also interesting is that if you think back to all of those, and for our listeners who don't know what the Weed DJ cruise, maybe don't know what that is. It's basically, think of whatever industry you're in, there's usually a big conference or a big convention that you go to, and it's maybe a trade show floor or there's educational components. And it's kind of like once a year, everybody always goes to this thing. And for us, we have that too, believe it or not, for DJs, we just happen to do it on a cruise ship. So we figure, you know, if we're going to have fun, let's really have fun. And there actually is some learning there as well. So, but one of the things that really, I think Ray, and maybe you can expand on this a little bit too, but I think not only did we create a group of guys that we're like brothers, like, you know, you can use all these cliches, a band of brothers, a family, a crew, you know, you can use all these different analogies. But what was really cool is when you saw other people who saw us and said, hey, I'm not sure everything it is that you guys have, but whatever it is, I want some of that because you guys are legit. And that was really neat to see that come from the outside looking in.
You know, the thing is this, is I think what made us unique and different than any other groups of people out there, and I'm not just talking DJs, I mean, anybody that's met us, you know, I think they saw that we, despite the age difference, like I said, here I was the senior, you know, member of the group. I could probably be Luke's father. I could, you know, I could be your uncle and so on. And
you'd probably be Nick's dad.
Well, yeah, definitely. Exactly.
Definitely.
But, you know, the fact is that, again, we have, it hasn't been a giving or just a taking. It's been a both, a give and take relationship. We have given to each other just as brothers, as actual blood brothers or siblings. We've helped each other out. We've kept that brotherhood, that friendship real close. And yeah, we've had our disagreements too. I remember in Las Vegas, for example, you know, we were all supposed to get together for dinner. And I think you'll remember this. We were on a bus and we got to the hotel and we were all supposed to have dinner together. And because of my position with NAME sitting on the board of directors, I had like three or four dinner invitations in the same night. And I tried to tell you guys that I needed to go to one of these dinner invitations and we'd get together, you know, later on. And you know, you guys came up, came at me and said, what are you too good for us? And, you know, your own brothers and stuff like that. And I go, and what I said was, I said, well, guys, when you're in the position that I'm in, or in the class or league that I'm in, all of a sudden you guys just really jumped on my case, you know? And, you know, the thing was, this is, you guys told me the truth, and it's what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear, but what I needed to hear. And it really brought me down to earth, you know? And I think that's what, you know, we value each other. That a friendship is somebody that when you value each other, and we pick each other up, and we don't judge each other, and we offer a lot of support to each other. And I think that, and then you explain the things that we may not understand, you know, and I think that we've all done that with each other. And that's why we've got such a great friendship.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, man. Well, we're just getting started, you guys, with our chat with Raymar. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to share just a couple of highlight stories that I can remember with Ray and myself and the rest of the group, and get his take on those stories. And then we'll go into talking more about Ray's book and about his message. So you're listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast. We'll be right back.
We are back with the Rookie and the Vet podcast with our awesome guest today, Raymar. And Raymar, just for our listeners, can you give them a little bit of a background, maybe on your professional past and some of the things that you've done?
Sure, Nick. Actually, I remember coming from my hometown of Brooklyn, New York to Los Angeles, got off the plane, went to my cousin's junior college basketball game. They were playing for the California State Championships. They won the game. After that, we went to their home to celebrate, and I saw my very first Lakers game on television, and I heard their broadcaster, Chick Hearn, Hall of Fame broadcaster, and when I was mesmerized by his calling of the play-by-play. And I said, that's exactly what I want to do. I mean, I was 13 years of age. Oh, and then fast forward years later, when I went to high school and college, I wound up, you know, taking up broadcasting. I got a chance to meet Chick Hearn, because that's all I talked about was the Lakers. And I wasn't good enough to play sports, but I knew a lot about sports. And I was the, if you want to call it the manager, the team manager, or as they would probably call it, the water boy of the basketball team. The coach said, you know so much about the Lakers. I'm going to have you start broadcasting our games. And then I got interviewed by a gentleman from the Orange County Register newspaper. He went ahead and took me to a Lakers game, and I got to meet Chick Hearn, my hero. Wow. And then eventually later on, I got to meet Vin Scully, the announcer of the Dodgers and Hall of Fame broadcaster. You know, they both told me the same thing within a year apart when I interviewed them. I said, what would you tell an upcoming sportscaster? They both told me, you have to do your homework. You have to be prepared, have your own unique style, and don't try to copy anybody. Just be yourself. And that's what I held true throughout my whole career. And eventually, I didn't go into sports broadcasting, but I did do many interviews with, you know, a lot of my heroes, Muhammad Ali, Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, you know, all the greats in baseball, basketball. I've interviewed Dr. J, you know, you've named it, I've interviewed them. When I was in college, the music director was asking some of the guys to take over the shift of one of the DJs, and he gave me a stack of records and asked me if I would take over his shift. And next thing you know, I was on a 25-watt station. You could barely hear across the street, and people were calling in for requests. And my very first song that I ever played on the radio as a DJ was Linda Ronstadt, "You're No Good." And that started it. And here I am 46 years later, still in the DJ world. And I'm hoping to go four more years and call it a 50-year career, God willing.
Incredible. The only difference now is his wife tells him you're no good. So it's like the full circle of like, like the full circle of that song.
Touche, touche.
That's really an incredible story. I mean, that's fantastic. Just, I mean, if I had to compare, if I could meet some of my idols, the way that you met yours, it would just be an absolute dream come true. So to see your progression and how you had that realized and then how that transitioned into a DJ career is absolutely fantastic.
Well, Nick, I could tell you that, and I understand you're a photographer, correct?
Yeah, photography and videography.
Well, you know, the same thing that I did in my business, you can do in your business. If there is a photographer, you know, a famous photographer that you may admire, or his work or her work, you know, anything is possible. You know, you have to have a dream. You know, there's a verse in scripture that says, without a vision, people will perish. You have to have a vision of what you want to do and how you're going to accomplish that. You know, I mean, you can do anything. Your mind is the most powerful tool in your body, and you can accomplish anything you want if you put your mind to it. So if there's somebody that is in your field that you would like to pick their brain, reach out to them, find out where they're at and say, hey, I'm an upcoming photographer. I'd like to pick your brain and do an interview with you for our podcast. And, you know, hey, you'd be surprised how far you can go. The only thing they could do is tell you no.
Definitely.
You know, definitely. So I would encourage you to do that. Follow your dreams.
Awesome.
So Ray, before we went to break in the last segment, I had mentioned wanting to kind of bring up a couple of different memories that I have of things that we've done. There's probably a lot of lessons to be learned in them, but nevertheless, they were a lot of fun. The first one, since we were alluding to Vegas already, let's start with Vegas. And do you remember when we were in Vegas and there was a concert and Naughty by Nature was on that concert? A couple other artists were on that concert, and we had caught wind of the fact that they were having kind of this little after party social thing that was going to happen after the concert was over with in the Frank Sinatra suite, nonetheless, at this hotel, by the way, Nick. So we're all like, we have to do whatever we got to do to get to this thing. And so we're like, Ray, we need to get to this after party deal. And Ray is like, who's Naughty by Nature? No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. So Ray says, let me see if I can work my magic. So Ray, you want to pick it up from there and talk about what happened after that?
What happened was, that was classic. What happened was there was a guy who worked for Mobile Beat magazine, and I forgot his name, to be honest with you, but he was like a security guard. What happened was he had stopped me earlier in the day about checking my credentials to get into the convention floor. And finally, that was ironed out. But then when it came time to this party, we had Scott Davies from American DJ at the time, and now Ariba Cases. He gave me a pass to this party, and David and Luke let me see, who else was there?
Eric Winning. Yep.
And James Menace.
Yep.
We were all together, and when we went up to the suite, the Frank Sinatra suite, who happened to be guarding the door? Well, after he apologized to me, he goes, "Oh, and who these guys?" And I said, "They're with me. They're my posse." And we walk into this suite, and there was nothing he could say, you know, because he knew better. We got into the suite, and we were hanging out with Tretch and
Vinny and KG. Vinny,
yeah, yep. Yeah. And so we were there, and then Tretch had this bottle of liquor. I don't remember what it was, but all of a sudden he says, "Here," you know, he's passing the bottle around, and we're all drinking out of this bottle, and we're getting hammered. And next thing you know, we were the last guys hanging out. We were about to leave. We were just going in for the meet and greet.
Yep.
And just to get a picture, and that was it, and get out of there. And he thought we were the coolest guys. And so they said, "Hey, why are you guys leaving? Just come out and hang out. Let's drink some more, you know?" And we were the last ones out of there. And they said, "If you guys want to have the suite, we're leaving." And we hung out at the suite for maybe another half hour. Eric did not know what a bidet was, and it looked like he wanted to take a drink out of the bidet. Luke was throwing himself on the bed that used to be Frank Sinatra's bed, and we just had a good time. We took over the place.
Yeah, I just thought it was really cool that we were able to connect with those guys. And I mean, we got into the room probably at, like, I want to say maybe it was 10:45, almost 11 o'clock, and Nick, I'm not even kidding you when I tell you I don't even think we left the room until like 4 in the morning. Like, it was just ongoing, nonstop. Like, And what was cool is there was another guy in there. So there's a grand piano, and Ray, you probably remember this. There's a grand piano, and this guy gets in there and just starts playing chords on the piano. It was just another DJ guy or whatever. And Tretch just starts like freestyling over yep. this guy playing the piano. And I'm talking, dude, when I say freestyling, he was going on for like at least 15 minutes. Am I kidding, Ray? Nonstop, like 15 minutes. It was unbelievable. It was
That's absolutely insane. And it also sounds like a scene from The Hangover. Sounds awesome.
There was other occasions that probably could have gotten into that, gotten into the Hangover, maybe Hangover 4 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You guys could be Hangover 4.
Yeah. Well, awesome. And what I think one of the lessons that I really learned from that is that, and it's kind of ties into what Ray, what you were just kind of telling Nick, is that, you know, if you want to do something in life, you got to ask, you got to go for it, you got to try. I mean, if we had not even made the attempt to do that, that whole situation would have never happened. That experience that we're now talking about, literally probably at least 10 or 12 years later, that we were talking about like it just happened last week, we wouldn't have been able to have that experience. And on top of that, you know, we've still stayed in connections with some of these guys through the years and everything. So we've built friendships, professional and personal relationships with a lot of these folks through the years just by doing that. So I just really thought that was a really kind of an example of how sometimes you just have to go for what you want, and maybe you get it, maybe you don't, but you got to try at least.
And I think the thing about it is, I think a lot of people are scared to try. Like, if I put myself in your situation, you know, standing right in front of that room, I'd be so scared. I would just turn around and go down the elevator. But you have to try, and you have to, you know, it's scary or whatever. No matter what it is, whether I want to meet, you know, my guy would be Peter McKinnon as the photographer. I would love to meet him, you know, to just reach out to him and try to find that. It's scary, but you know, to go to have those stories and that reward of going for it, at least you can say you tried, right? So excellent.
Well, Nick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, right now on the record, I'm going to challenge you to do that.
Let's do it.
I'm going to challenge you right now, and I expect you within the next 6 months to find out his contact information. And you reach out to him and tell him that you're doing a podcast and you'd like to get him on the podcast.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to challenge you live right now.
I like that.
That's that Raymar challenge being laid
down.
That's
accountability right there. Yeah, I like that.
There you go, accountability.
I really believe you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be afraid. You have to be able to take chances. You know, like, remember that movie, What About Bob? There's baby steps, you know, and you just have to take a little step at a time, but you have to build confidence in yourself. You know, if you don't mind, I'm going to share a real quick story with you. I remember I was doing a seminar in Toronto, Canada. This was my very first public speaking seminar out in Toronto, Canada. And I was right in the middle of the seminar, and the guy kept raising his hand and said, "Excuse me, I have a question." And I said, "What's your question?" He said, How are you making $1,200 or $1,500 for an event? And I'm not doing that." And I said, "Well, why don't you come to my seminar tomorrow and I can explain more in detail?" And he said, "I don't want to go to your seminar." He then raised his hand a second time. He said, "You didn't answer my question. How are you making $1,500 and I'm only making like $400 or $500? How can I make that money?" And I said, "Well, why don't you buy a copy of my book?" "I don't want to buy your book." Then he asked me a third time, and I finally had to stop the seminar. And I said, "Sir, you really want to know why you're not making the money that I'm making?" I said, "I'm going to tell you why. It has nothing to do with skill. What it has to do with is your confidence. If you don't have the confidence to go ahead and, you know, when clients call you, and if you're timid with them, they're going to think that you don't know what you're talking about. You have to be able to talk with authority, that you know what you're talking about. And once you do that, that you can talk authoritatively, that's going to lend credibility to you. But that's if awesome. You are timid and shy and, "Oh, I think I can do this," instead of, "Yeah, I can do that," what's going to happen is this. Then when they hear that timid voice out of you, they're going to go, "Well, thank you very much. I think we'll look around." But if you come that you really know what you're talking about, you know, and you're not that you're being forceful, but again, you're just being a little bit more aggressive. What's going to happen? They go, you know what? This guy really knows what he's talking about. He's confident. That's when they're going to hire you. And that's when they're going to pay you the money that you deserve.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that. That's fantastic. Definitely some good takeaways there for sure.
The other one I want to talk about is 2008. We went on a 9-day, 7 baseball stadium trip with, at times there were 7 of us, but for the majority of it, there were 5 of us on this trip. Yeah. And the age range in that was like 15 years old all the way to like 50 years old of the different age ranges that were on this trip with us. And when I tell you, like, we started in Philadelphia, and we went to Philadelphia, we went to Baltimore, we went to Washington, D.C., we went to Pittsburgh, we went to Boston, we went to both New York parks. What am I missing, Ray? Am I missing anything?
Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Boston, New York, both New York stadiums, and then Washington, D.C. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we did that, like I said, in the course of about 9 days, and we were driving the whole time. And it was just, it was definitely a good lesson in adapting. It was a good lesson in understanding that sometimes you can't just look at things from your own viewpoint. And sometimes you have to look at things from other people's viewpoints. And especially when you're in that close of quarters together, and this obviously can be applicable to family, this can be applicable to your work experiences in life, and understanding that each different individual has different likes, different dislikes. When you're going on a trip like this, yeah, we all are going to watch baseball, but in each city, different guys had different interests, and trying to fit it all in and then drive and do all the things we had to do. I mean, there were some nights where we were driving overnight and stuff like that. And we went to, but we had an opportunity to go to places like, you know, we went to Valley Forge. We went to Ground Zero when we were in New York. We went to Broadway. We went to in Boston. We didn't just go to Fenway. We did a tour of Boston and all these different things. And so we really tried to work hard to accommodate each and every person's particular likes beyond just going to baseball games. But it was very challenging because of the time frame and because of just having to move around and get to where we all had to get to. Plus, at that point, we all probably weighed about 50 pounds heavier than we all are now. So, you know, imagine all these big dudes all sweaty and nasty in a van for seven or 8 days or 9 days, whatever it was. It was funny.
And a bucket of Everclear.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess the statute of limitation are over now at this point. But at one point of the trip, we decided to go to try to see if we could find ourselves a bucket, like a I don't know what it was, but we ended up having to get a dog. It was actually a dog food container, a plastic dog food container, and we set it between the passenger and the driver's seat of this van, and we filled it up with a bunch of fruit juice. We filled it up with Everclear, which half the guys had never even had Everclear before this happened. And if you haven't had Everclear before, I promise you that the first time you do, it will probably take at least a couple of hairs off your chest if you have any. And, you know, we just threw fruit in there and everything and just let it set for like one day. And then it was over with after that. But Ray, man, you know, am I right when I say that we went for baseball, but we learned so much about life on that trip?
Well, you talk about, you know, one of the things I want to hit on, you talk about life in general, and you mentioned earlier about the different age group, okay? You know, the span of the age. The youngest was, he wasn't even 21 yet, you know? And here I was already in my 50s, you know? And it was so funny because we were in Boston. We had just gotten out of, I don't know if you remember this or not, I'm riding shotgun. Luke was driving his Escalade, and we stop at a red light. And so help me God, this is true. I have never, ever, ever done any type of drugs whatsoever. And it was a hot summer day. The windows are rolled down in the Escalade. And so I'm just sitting there in the shotgun position of the car. And this guy is standing on the corner, and he reaches out to me and says, "Hey, brother, can you spare a dime?" And I said, I don't have any change on me. And all you guys were laughing so hard because he was talking about a dime bag. And I'm going, the hell's a dime bag? I didn't know.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was just like the funniest thing. You guys laughed at me because, you know, I was like so out of it, not knowing about the drug scene. Not that you guys took drugs or anything like that, because you didn't. I want to clarify that.
Thank you for not selling us up the river like that.
Yeah, you did not inhale. No, we just had a good time. I mean, you know, the funny part is that I also had a friend of mine that worked for ASICS America, the tennis shoe company. And I asked him to send us some, you know, like the college wrestling gear, you know,
the singlet. Tights. Yeah.
And so two of the guys were, one was about 450 pounds. The other guy was about 380, 390. And who he's now skinny. We used to call him Kool-Aid because when he would come into the room, he'd be all happy and jolly, and he looked like the big red Kool-Aid guy, you know. And now he's lost so much weight, we call him Crystal Light now. And so, but anyways, I brought all these wrestling tights for everybody because, and we're gonna all pretend that we're like from the WWE. And the two heavyset guys, they saw these tights and they go, oh, hell no, we are not getting into this. Well, leave it to David. David puts on, he embraced this whole thing. He puts on the tights. He has a Lucha Libre mask on. And then he gets a washcloth, rolls it up, and he tucks it in his tights. He's packing, man. These guys were a trip.
So, yeah, so, you know, just to tie that off, you know, I just think that, again, it was a really great experience. I mean, I remember when we went to Valley Forge, and it was just the beauty of that, and just kind of just bringing you back to just the purity of life and the simplicity of life. And I think especially right now with everything we're going through right now, you need those things. You need something to just kind of bring you back to the simplicity of life. And remembering that, yeah, we're going through some tough times right now. We're dealing with some really, really, really tough times right now. But those times are not going to be forever. Those times are going to go away, and we're going to come out of it stronger. And I think that was something that I always remember about that trip, that especially going to Valley Forge and then going to Ground Zero, and really the magnitude of standing where that happened and taking that all in and absorbing and taking all that in perspective also was really another example of that.
You know, David, it's ironic that you say that because, you know, like you said, we are experiencing some difficult times right now, but again, Valley Forge was one of them, Ground Zero. We got to go through Philadelphia. We got to see Independence Hall. We went through Boston, you know, through New York City. There's a lot of things that were historical landmarks that we've got a chance. But most importantly, again, it was the friendship that brought us together. You know, baseball obviously brought us together, you know, but there were other things that we got a chance to experience that we wouldn't have done it if we were on our own, probably. And so the basic message was what I'm telling people now is that, you know, cherish those times. You know, this too shall pass, what we're going through right now with COVID-19, but cherish those moments. Pick up the phone while we're down and out. Pick up the phone, call your friends, Skype them, and just check, see how they're doing. Be kind to each other and think back of the times that you did have. You know, I mean, this is, to me, therapeutic right now for me as well. You know, I'm just grateful to have friends like David and Eric and Luke. You know, those guys mean a lot to me, and there's not a time that we don't think about each other and love each other. So hang on to your friends, man. They're very, very valuable.
All right, so before we go to break, I want you to just, first thing that comes to mind when I say Denny's Beer Barrel Pub.
Oh, was that the 15 pound hamburger?
That absolutely was.
15-pound hamburger, yeah. That was amazing.
Oh, my.
There it is right there.
That is...
Oh, jeez.
That's a small child.
That's a great line. That's a great line. But you know what's so funny, Nick, is that the two guys who were with us, they attempted, I think, the 5-pound burger, and they couldn't get through that.
Oh, no,
there you go.
Hey, there he is.
That's Luke and David.
Crazy. Yep.
David, I don't even have those pictures. You need to send those to me.
I will. I'll get them to you. For you guys that are listening and you can't really obviously see what we're doing right now, I've found some of these pictures from this trip and I'm just kind of showing them to the guys right now. I think it's this one's a little bit blurry, but I think this sums up the whole trip to Denny's Beer Barrel Pub right here.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a gastric nightmare.
It was terrible.
Nice.
It was terrible. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You are listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast.